just want to ask you this morning, do you believe that God still wants to heal and touch people's lives? Can we not say that God has met us here this morning during our prayer time? I hope that what you've experienced during our worship time this morning, that you just not forget it, those times that we're struggling, those times where you feel like heaven is brass, because God is still on the move and God is still working and God still cares what's going on in our lives. So when we come to the throne room of God, we can come boldly because of who we are in Christ and allow God to do some amazing things. And I look forward, because I'm just gullible enough to believe that God touched somebody today, or touched a circumstance, or touched a situation, and then the next days we're going to hear a testimony on that. This morning I want to continue talking about the problem of worrying. And if you were awake the last few weeks, you know that we've already touched on and talked about worry and anxiety a few weeks ago. We said that anxiety was a part of a lot of people's lives. You said amen. You probably were taking notes. So you're saying, Pastor, why this morning are you coming back around again? And I thought that we would move on. Well, the simple truth is the Lord wouldn't let me go on. There's something else that needs to be said about this. And sometimes the Lord gets my attention and he says, you know what, you need to go back and revisit that. And occasionally that does happen. And so I'm going to say to you this morning, somebody's going to get blessed. And my question is it you? Do you want it to be you? And do you want the Lord to minister? So look aside at somebody and say, you know what, God's got something good for you. Go ahead. Don't be afraid. Look right at somebody and say, God's got something good for you, and I want to be blessed. When you look at them too, say, I want to be that one that's going to get blessed. Because I think every time that we come into the house of the Lord and come into the church and believe that God wants to do something special, I believe that if we came with an attitude that God not only shows up, but God wants to minister and do some amazing things. If we would come with that attitude, then we would see God do some amazing things. Amen? So if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to read the verse and then we're going to pray in just a minute. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25, again, talking about worry, but I used a different scripture this time to drive it home. Starting at verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It's not life more than food, and the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen? Father, this morning we come to you in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And again, we look at worrying and we again look, Lord God, that every single one of us this morning is worrying about something. We're worrying about our jobs. We're worrying about our kids. We're worrying about our health. We're worrying about relationships. Maybe we're even worrying this morning if we're going to beat the Baptist to the restaurant. But we're worrying about something. Every day we're worrying about something, and this morning I'm asking, Lord God, as we lay these worries down to you, that, Lord God, you would set us free. Allow us, Lord God, to trust more and worry less. Help us, Lord God, to live our lives out the way you intended us to. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, trusting you, Lord God, as we go to your word and as we see these truths, that we would apply them to our lives. And all God's people said, amen. The question I want to ask you this morning is this: does worry help your situation? When you stop and you look at 85% of what most people worry about that never happens, does worry really help the situation? The things that you cannot control, who put you in charge of that? Huh? The things that you cannot control, who put you in charge of it, and why would you grab onto it and feel like it's something that you need to do? Did you appoint yourself to be that worry wart? And my question is, where does faith begin and your talents and your knowledge stop? The scripture that we just read, you can see by looking in your Bibles, it's the red letter edition. We know it's Jesus. We know that Jesus is speaking these words to us. We look, and I want to tell you something. This is the best Bible series ever preached. And I've had some good ones, but this is the best Bible series ever preached because it's Jesus teaching, and he's teaching us the Sermon on the Mount. And he's teaching us all of the things that we should be looking at. And if you stop and you look at this and you see some of the deals, he's how to pray, how to reach heaven, how to be praying for the things going on in your life, how important it is to be fasting and less of you and more of God, spending time with God, storing up your treasures in the right place and not worrying about all these things. And those will be for another time. That's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. The three that I want to center on this morning is worrying, judging others, and really asking and seeking God for the things that we need in our lives. And you think, well, Pastor, why would you take worry, judging others, and seeking God and lump them together? Because I think that that's what we do in our lives. I think we're worrying a lot. I think we're running around judging others instead of keeping our eyes focused on the Lord. And then you know, how do we seek the Lord when we're in this entrapment of going around in this circle? You would think that if Jesus himself told us not to worry about it, and we were a child of God, that would be enough, wouldn't you? Yeah, amen. I've been there. This message is cutting to my heart too. Because all of the times that you think you're trusting God and you find out you're not trusting God as much as you think you are. Or there's areas that you don't give up. You know, Jesus himself tells you, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you have need of, because I'm going to meet your needs. He doesn't always meet our wants, amen, and sometimes we need to separate those. I'm thankful that he does give us some of our wants at times, but he doesn't promise, I'm going to give you all your wants. He says, I'm going to give you all of your needs. And, you know, don't worry about these things because I'm going to meet them. If I take care of a bird, how much more do I care about a child of God? How much more do I want to be involved in your life? 2 weeks ago, we looked at anxiety. We looked at all of those things. We looked at stressing out. We looked at never disconnecting. And all of those things play a part in it. So, that, you know, don't forget that. It's not two separate ones. It's one that came in two messages. But they're all tied together there. Stressing out, never disconnecting is a part of worry. And the other element that I believe that we got to really focus on is staying focused on the things of God when we're going through these hard times. Amen? Because the first thing you want to do is bail. I know I'm the only one that feels that way. But just humor me for a while, because when we go through these things, we want to bail out. The other element would be to worry less and wanting God to be more productive in our lives. But I want to know this too. I want you to know this too. To just come up to somebody and say, stop worrying, has never stopped anyone from worrying. If you've been in that spot and you've been there where you're going through a hard time and somebody just came up to you and says, stop worrying, it didn't help a bit. That's something that has to happen between you and God. That has to be, that trust has to be there between you and the Lord. And here's the thing this morning. Is God first in your life? See, only you would be able to answer that question. You could put on a show, you could say yes, and really you would know that's not the case. So my question to you this morning, for you to do some internal searches, is God first in your life? And if you have to say no, then as simple as I can, God has to be first in your life. Some of the struggles that we go through is because God's not first in our life, and we redirect and we do some crazy things, and then we want to blame God for some of the things that we ourselves have created. And then on the other side of that, is God first and you say yes? My question back to you is, do you believe that God has your back as much as he has the back of a bird? Are you still with me? If you're saying yes, then do you believe that God has your back as much as he has the back of a bird? And is God everything you need? I'm going to get you because the Lord got me. Is God everything that you need? Or do you have to go God and? God and a girlfriend, God and a boyfriend, God and a new job, God and a new relationship, God in more money, God in this, God in that, God in the material things that I'm after. If you have to say God in anything, Jesus tells us in this portion of Scripture that even the pagans run after that. If you have to say God and anything, you're missing what God wants. Verse 33 says, but first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Meaning that all the things that you need, the supply that you need will be there. But I don't know about you, but that brings me comfort. That brings me comfort when God says, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in Christ Jesus. Amen? That should excite you. When Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, at those times that you're struggling, and basically saying, there's going to be some bumps, but I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you through there. You're not going to do it alone. I can picture the Lord going, I love me my birds, but I love my children better. I love my birds, but I died for my children. Worrying is for the birds. Yeah, I have my moments. If we are more concerned about tomorrow than a bird is about getting his food, we miss out. And don't get me wrong, you need to be putting in a 401ks and doing all the things that you can to plan for the future if you can, how you can. And understand this, it all belongs to the Lord. The Lord takes care of these things. If we would be trusting God more and worrying less, how much better would that be? The other element is to stay focused. Probably the hardest thing. I'm one of those that can, you say you multitask and you do a lot of things, but I'm one of those that's like, squirrel! And you just you can get sidetracked so easy. And you think you're on track and pretty soon you're running away and you miss out. And my question is, are you putting more energy on the circumstance or God's promise? Are you putting more energy and effort on the situation or the promise? Corrie ten Boom says this, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It only empties today of its strength. God says again, but seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. If we're worrying about 85% of things don't going on, could we have a better day if we got control of worrying? Could we live a more productive life? Could we see God do some more things in our lives? Stop worrying about the things that you can't change. The Russian invasion on the internet is somebody else's problem. Can you say amen to that? I mean that. The all of the things that are going on, you're going to sleep better if we could get control of this. You are not in charge of the economy. Just be a good steward of what God has given you. Trusting you to lay these apart, that you get the better sleep, that you take the weight of the world off of you, you're going to sleep better. You weren't meant to carry the world weights. You were not meant to carry the economy of the whole United States. You were not meant to worry about what is and is not on the internet. The opposite of faith is worry. So are you doing more faith building or are you doing more worrying? Worry will tear you apart. And if I had to put a definition of it, I have it this way. Worry is being overwhelmed by a situation or a circumstance. And the definition of faith I'm getting right from the Word of God says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we haven't yet seen. Amen? Faith is believing in God, and worry is believing in yourself. God is looking for some that are going to have faith in him and stop worrying about all the things that they feel and will realize that aren't always happening. This crazy preacher is still waiting for God to do the things that he showed me 14 years ago when I showed up here. And it energizes me every day because I believe every bit of what God showed me. And I believe that it may not happen yet, but it's going to happen. I want to see God do more and not worry about it. I want to see God do it more than I want to worry about it. Amen? How about that? Quote it if you like it. I want to see God do more, and I want to worry less about it. I want to stay focused on God's promises, not individual circumstances and situations. When we lose focus, we get overwhelmed by what could be, and we miss what God is doing. Amen? We get overwhelmed on what could be. Oh, what if this, this, and this happens? And then we miss what God's happening, what God is doing. If we came in here with a heart of expectation, we would see God do so much more on a Sunday morning. If we could just explain to people that if you could just get out of bed and hear a word from the Lord, your life would be a whole lot different. What may be crazy now could be an act of faith for you later. Amen? Think about that. What may be crazy now, it could be an act of faith. Now I love this. I was listening to Todd White on a simulcast not too long ago, and Todd White talks about Noah and the flood, and it got me thinking. Can you believe it? Do you think how crazy that was? How crazy that people thought Noah must have been? You're doing what? You're building what? What's rain? That's crazy. Noah told God that he would build an ark, even though it was a place where it's never rained. He recruited his whole family to crazy. Anybody ever do that? You don't even want to be around the table, some of the things I've shot out at my wife. God loves crazy. But the thing that I like about listening to this simulcast, Todd White says this, I can't take credit for this, is his, but he says, make sure it's God. Make sure it's God. Make sure that you're hearing God right. And he goes this way. He says, before you give up your job and before you move to a new place, make sure it's God, because he could teach you a whole new weight loss program. It's called Hungry. And I thought that was good. You know, we make sure it's God. And if it's God, dig in. If it's not God, make sure it's not something that you're just going to fly off at, because, yeah, I like this weight loss program. You could be hungry. You could have made a mistake, and it could have cost you something. See, it's only crazy until it happens. Amen? And here, you know, I'd give you a shot there. It was only crazy for Noah until it started raining, until it started happening. Then people suddenly knew it wasn't crazy. It was a word from the Lord. And it's not crazy until the town drunk comes to Jesus and starts setting the world on fire, because he's too gullible to know that he's limited. And he starts telling people what Jesus did, and people's lives begin to be changed. See, it's only crazy that in 1987, not too far from here, the church bought two lots of land and was ready to put the church side by side, right on top of each other, until this corner opened up, until a deal fell through. It was only crazy until we pulled in, until God gave us the corner lot, until all of the people that at the time that were here and sensing God said, you know what? God's moving this direction. We need to step out. It's only crazy until it happens. God works with crazy. God loves crazy. You have a crazy pastor. You have crazy leaders. And we're just gullible enough to believe that God still wants to do something. Can you say amen to that? That we still believe he wants to do something. See, I don't worry when I know it's God. When Jesus begins to talk to others here, And he starts going from worry and taking the birds and meeting the needs and making sure your heart is right, and then he moves right into chapter 7 and starts talking about judging others. See, I don't believe, you know, the person that separated the chapters, I believe they could have just went right into 7, because I believe this worrying and moving right into judging can be a part of that. And, you know, I think that if we're not careful, we're so quick to throw out the H word, hypocrite. And we begin to start looking at others. And I don't think there should be a chapter break. And what I'm saying about that is, if you go into chapter 7 and you begin chapter 7 at verse 1, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the time, in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How do you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Don't miss this. If we lose focus and you begin to worry and you begin to get out of focus for the things of God, you will start judging others. You will be starting to look more critical to the things of others. You will start to judge them when your heart is not right. you begin to look at these other things. You know, you just hear me a minute. This is how we approach people when we're looking at these things and we're judging. We got this magnifying glass. If you're my sermon's on the internet, if you're looking, I'm looking through a magnifying glass, and you're looking through this and you're looking for problems. You begin looking. You start looking for specks when you got planks in your own eyes. You start looking at people's past when you forget that you have a past. And you begin to do these things. And looking through this magnifying glass, you begin to see, she's not perfect. He's not perfect. I see pimples in their lives. See, these are Jesus' word, not mine. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And he begins to tell us and show us and gives us an idea of what we need to be doing. He says, first take the plank out of your eye. How can you look for specks when you got a plank in your own eye? First take the plank out of your own eye so you can clearly remove the speck from your brother's eye. How do you do that? Take your magnifying glass and lay it down and start looking into a mirror. See, and I think it's kind of funny because here's how we would do it. Okay, God, you want me to do it. Well, let me see if I can see anything. No, I don't see any problems whatsoever here, Lord. And he's telling you, well, then you need a little bigger one. Because you're not perfect and you make mistakes. And you can see that you need to put down the magnifying glass, you need to pick up the mirror, and you need to be open for God and honest with the Lord and trust Him to make your heart and your life right. You would do a whole lot less worrying if you could do a whole lot more trusting. You would have your praise on more than you would have your complaining outfit on. Amen. I know you don't. That's not a big amen. It's not a loud amen, but it is an amen. So I'll take it. Reading down at verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Can you say amen to that this morning? If you're looking for the Lord, you're going to find Him. If you're looking for Him to find a way in your life, then you're asking and you're seeking and you're knocking. He's not going to not answer that door. Worry less. Watch God do some amazing things. Worry less. When worry comes to the door, let Jesus answer it. Amen? It's a cliche, but let Him answer it. God, I didn't sign up for that. I'm trusting You. I'm not going to be that inspector. I'm not going to worry about him or her and what's going on in their life right now, because I'm going to worry to make sure my heart's right. And if I am going to approach them, I'm going to approach them with a heart of love, because I want to see You do something amazing in their lives, Lord. I'm going to put down the magnifying glass. I'm going to look in the mirror. And then when I approach somebody, I'm going to come at them in the right mind and the right way. I'm going to close with an illustration. And I put my Petey, my Westie, up on an illustration again. He's a dog. He's expected to act like a dog. He looks like a dog. He acts like a dog. I expect him to act like a dog because that's what he is. And he's one breed that just loves to sniff. He's the biggest sniffer that I know. And you take him outside and he loves to put his nose in the air or his nose to the ground to pick up every scent probably imaginable to man. And if I let him, he would sniff every blade of grass to make sure that he got every little bit of it, that he doesn't miss any of it. And when I finally have enough and I begin to pull him, he looks at me like, why would you stop me from being a dog? And I'm telling you this morning, God is pulling us, asking us, why don't we act like the children of God? Why don't we grasp on to what he's trying to say? Why don't you grab on to crazy once in a while and realize it's me so that I can do something amazing in your life? He gives each one of us, every one of us, not anyone excluded, he gives a gift and a talent and something that he wants you to accomplish in your life. And I want to tell you this morning, worry is not a gift of the Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Worrying is not a gift of the Spirit. You are not called to worry. Your ministry is not worrying. Leave that for somebody else. But I do have to say, some of you are really good at your worrying. And if God, if you would give that over to the Lord, he would do amazing things. Think about this as we wind down. If we would allow God to enter into our lives, and we would enter into praise, and we would enter less into worry, he would enter our circumstances with power. Amen? If we could lay down some of the things that are keeping us and hindering us, God would invade our circumstances with power. When nothing makes sense, God could still be in it. Amen? When you say, no way, God says, yeah, way. We like to be inspectors. We like to take the sawdust out of people's eyes, even though we got planks in our own. We don't like it when somebody wants to remove them in our lives. You say amen this morning. Did I get everybody? Because he got me. We need to be less inspectors. Put down the magnifying glass, grab the mirror, and let God do something amazing in our lives. Allow him to take those things that keep us up at night. Allow him to work on the tough struggles that we're going through, and watch him do something amazing. I'm looking for testimonies. I'm looking for testimonies of what God will do if we would spend less time worrying and more time trusting, if we would spend more time seeking God, and when it's God, get up and go. Let's be crazy. Let's see God do some amazing things. Anybody with me? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. It's applied to each and every one of us. We can't look around. We can't pick up the little mirror. We got to pick up the big one. Throw the magnifying glass away so that we could be all that you want us to be. And when we do have to work a speck out of somebody else's eye, let us do it in the right attitude. Let it be with the opportunity to redeem, reclaim, respond in the love of Christ. And we'll give you honor, we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.